Okay, here we go. There we go. How's everybody doing? It's a little different. We're going to have a few more speakers today. We just want to welcome you for coming. We're going to take just a little brief hiatus from our Hebrew study, and we'll pick up with that again next weekend. Billy's going to enter into chapter number 7 next weekend, so that'll be good. But we really wanted to highlight our missions. You know, the culture we're trying to build, and for years now, as in March, you can expect some kind of report or some kind of fundraising, sometime a highlight of our missions, and that's what this is. You know, there have been years where we've done a gala, and I know some of you say gala, and that's fine, but I'm hoping that next year, 2023, we can do just something really big and outside the box, maybe a tent or something wild. But next year, this year, this is what we're going to do. And this is what we do to a number of things: bring attention, recruit people, and ask you to help us to support it. And you're going to see that kind of unfold tonight. We're going to have everybody's going to kind of speak through tonight. But I want to just touch on a couple things. I got a couple of verses I want to share with you. Kind of the theme for tonight is pray, give, and go. And with that, I like this verse. This is our verse, kind of even a heartbeat of our church is Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Most of you know this. I hope you have it memorized. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And really, folks, that's what we're all about. That's why we're all sitting here. We want more people to hear the gospel. We want to go. We want to be a part of God, what God's doing all over the world. So we're excited to share that with you. I like this quote from A.T. Pearson. Or wait, let's start with this first. I like this too. One of our perspectives teachers had this diagram the other night at one of our classes, and I was very intrigued by it. I think it's very telling. I think for a healthy church, and I hope you would agree, that churches need to be sending. The missional part of the church is just as important as the local church body. The people are in the church, all of you guys. That's an important part of our church and what we do. But the missions, when we send out the different things, there's touch points. You notice those little circles. So folks like this are going to go out into the mission field. And in our heart and hope is this will multiply. There will be more. And we'll be able to go to some unreached people groups. And it'll just be grow and be more year to year. But for a healthy, vital church, we need to be planting churches, we need to be sending missionaries, and we need to be doing church life together. That's that kind of steady church, the local church. That's what we are. But this, I think that's just a good visual for us. I like it. There's three ways that you can join with us in reaching the world for Jesus, because that's what we hope to do. We're serious about that. That seems like a big thing, and it is. But we have a big God, so we're excited about that. So I'm just going to pray, and then I'll just share a little bit more. Just praying, God, I love you. I just thank you for this church. I thank you for what you're doing through the saints, Lord. I just appreciate this church and how everybody loves you and wants more people to know you, Lord. I pray you'd stir us up, Lord. I pray you'd grab a hold of our hearts, maybe in a way we've never been grabbed a hold of before. Only you can do that. Lord, we just want to submit to you and ask you to just have your way with us. And I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. So three ways that you can join with us: pray, give, and go. Let's start with pray. Guys, all of us can pray, young and old. Get your family involved. We need your prayers for missions. I got a couple quotes here that I just think are real telling. First, we'll hit these verses right here from Matthew chapter 36. Verses 36 through 38. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly." I'm the one that highlighted that and put an underline under it. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers to his heart into his harvest. Wow. You know, this whole mission thing, even our church, we're not going to get anywhere if we're not men and women of prayer. I like this quote from Andrew Murray. It says, "The man who mobilizes the Christian church to pray will make the greatest contribution to world evangelization in history." Maybe for such a time as this. Maybe we might be the church that really comes to a place where we all take this serious and we pray and we ask God to do incredible things, and not only in our own lives, but in other people's lives as well. I would love that. Wouldn't you like to be a part of that? Get creative. Set your watch. Pray alone. Pray together. Get a group together. Pray upside down. Pray all around. Do it like a cat in a hat thing. Just remind yourself. Come up with creative ways to pray. One thing, it builds your faith. It really does. The closer you get to the Creator, the more intimate you are with Him, the more intimate your whole life becomes with this thing called life that God has us involved in. We need to be men and women that pray. I like this quote as well from John R. Mott. It says, "The history of missions is a history of prayer. Everything vital to the success of the world's evangelization hinges on prayer." Let's be a praying church. We need your prayers for what the Lord's getting us involved in. So there's a number of things that are going on that we're gonna share here. My brothers and sisters here, we're all excited to kind of tell you what we're involved in. You know, the Lord could do more. The Lord could shut things down. But right now, this is what we're trusting Him for 2022. Lots of things are going on. We have our ear to the pavement for some other things as well. But this is what we're kind of trusting the Lord for. And we're stepping forward in. So we're just going to go across the line here. Everybody's just going to share a little bit what they're trusting the Lord for. And I've got some other things, too, that we're going to talk about. So why don't we start with you, Jim. You go ahead and kick us off, brother.
I am.
Oh, hold on just a second.
Testing.
It's working. So when each of these guys is talking, we've got a little slideshow from Romania for Jim. So while he's talking, the pictures you see are some things that he's been involved in before.
Okay. Now, for the last decade, the Rock Church has partnered with a ministry from the UK to reach out to underserved and marginalized peoples in Romania. We have six different villages that we reach out to, and one of those is entirely populated by the Roma people, which many of you may know as gypsies. Our first major project was to go there and to build a ministry house or a community center where they could gather and they could worship God. Now, individuals and teams from the Rock over the years and from have went there from all over the world and stayed anywhere from a day to months to even years. And they do many things from working with the children's ministries to helping out around the place to doing simple projects and major construction projects. Now, one of our major projects a few years ago was their ministry center had caught fire and burnt almost entirely down. And so we went and helped rebuild that ministry center. I'm noticing that a lot of these pictures are not of Romania, so you can kind of ignore those things.
Yeah, they're Sweden. I'm enjoying them. They're great.
So you may see them, but that's all right. You can see them on the website and see them later. So
there you are.
Hey, yeah. That was when we were building the church building. There's the fire. That's one of the fires, actually, we helped put out of somebody's house. This all started with Samaritan's Purse. Somebody sent a Christmas shoebox and a letter. And from that, this UK pastor came and started this ministry, and we've been sending groups for many years now. Now, since God has burdened us with the Roma people, we have sponsored and led two different retreats for the Roma teens. And we empower the local Romanian young adults and the local Roma pastors to lead in that retreat. And it's very, very successful. The gospel is preached and heard, and we are excited about that happening. Now, if it's God's will, in June, we are going to take a team and work, do some construction projects. The building we built 10 years ago needs some work, and the building that we live in that center needs some work. And so we're looking at doing some construction, so if you'd like to do that. But there's opportunities available for everything, from cooking, cleaning, to doing children's program while other people are working. You could do many different things. So that's what we're going to do. I say if it's God's will, because most of you know there's a war in Ukraine. And millions of Ukrainian refugees have gone to the surrounding countries. At this point, over 600,000 Ukrainian refugees are in Romania. The ministry has offered up the property to be used as housing for them. At this point, they haven't chosen to go there. So if it's God's will, we will go. And so for us, you can pray. You can pray that the war will end, that the people that are suffering in all these nations, that they will be taken care of and protected and safe. And pray that God will use us and know us how to use the Rock Church to help them.
Thank you, Jim.
Hi, my name's Brent. I get to talk about our own mission to the city. Many of you are familiar with Mission to the City. Many of you have participated in Mission to the City, but some of you, this is new to you. So I'll explain what it is. So we pick a week during the summer. So this year it's going to be July 23rd through 30th. And we pick a week to be on mission right here in our own community, in our own city. Last year, we had over 30 different projects and over 400 volunteers filling those projects out throughout that entire week, just serving our community. And so it's an awesome opportunity for families to grab the little kids and grab the teens and go and sort food at the food bank or make sandwiches for the road home sack lunches or go to the skate park and just smile and love on some of those broken kids that hang out at the skate park all day, and we hand out pizza or popsicles or water bottles, and we color boxes for food for the food bank, or we go and deliver food to the elderly, or we visit assisted living homes, and we bring our dog, and it just makes them smile, and they love to just play with the dogs. There's a lot of different things that we've done in the past, and it's all easy stuff for us to just take the time and do it. It's right here in our community. I love getting my family involved because I want to raise my children up to understand that verse that we read, the Great Commission, to go. And what a better opportunity than to do it right here in the comfort and convenience of our own city. God willing, there's going to be some amazing stories up here. And my hope is that your heart is going to be pulled to do one of these international missions. But realistically, some of you, it may not fit your schedule. It may not be fit your season of life. But this is easy. This really is for each and every one of us to jump on board and get it to be a part of right here in our community, in our city. So as we look at this year, July 23rd through the 30th, we have all the connections from different organizations and different places that we've done projects, the American Red Cross, we've done blood drives, we've done a lot of different things, and we could easily fill that whole week with the things that we've done in the past. But we really want to expand that. We want to broaden that. This year, we want to have 50 projects and over 500 volunteers. And so I guess my urge or my call to you is, what can you do in your community? What do you see in your neighborhood or your community or your circle of influence? What organizations are you a part of that we can go and bless them and we can partner with them? So if you have ideas or if you're passionate about something in a way to bring Jesus to the community, we want you to be involved. We want to run hard for those ideas and those projects and those opportunities to partner with organizations. So I would just put that call out to you. Start praying and start thinking about how can you make an influence in your community? We can easily pack a full schedule throughout the week. Pastor Mac's wife, Jeannie, she does an amazing job filling the schedule with all the different things that you guys can sign up for. But we want to hear from you. What do you want to do? How do you want to bring Jesus to your community? So we want feedback from you guys. What ideas do you have for this year to broaden it to 50 projects and have the opportunity to have 500 volunteers? So there's days where we could easily do 3 to 5 different projects on that day, whether it's in the morning, afternoon, evening. But what would it look like if every day of that week we had 10 different things that we could go and be a part of? And we had slots for 600-700 volunteers. What would the city look like after that 1 week of us just going out and loving on them? And our city needs it. They need Jesus. I had a conversation this afternoon as I was getting my haircut with a lady at Sport Clips. She, born and raised here in Salt Lake, only one of her siblings and in her family to ever leave the LDS Church. And she went through a very traumatic 4-year process of mentally dealing with that and dealing with conversations with her family. And she is turned off by church. She would still say that she's spiritual, but she's scared to step foot into a church building. And I told her, I was like, it's not about a church. It's not about a religion. It's about Jesus. She needs Jesus. She needs to know that Jesus loves her. And our community is full of people just like her. They need the love of Jesus. They need to know. They need that connection back to Jesus. Not religion, not rules, not checking boxes, not a building. They need Jesus. And this is a perfect opportunity for you to go and be the hands and feet to your community, to our city, and love on them and tell them it's all about Jesus. It's not about the Rock Church. It's not about, you know, this task that you have to do every weekend. It's just about loving Jesus, and that's it. So you have the opportunity to do that this summer. We're super excited about it, July 23rd through 30th. Put it on the calendar. If you have any ideas, any projects that you want to be a part of, on your handout, in your bulletin, Mac's email address is on there. Please shoot him an email, and we'd love to run hard and pursue some of those ideas. So,
thanks, Brent. That haircut looks even better to me now. It's looking amazing. And I just want to say, bless your heart, Brent. He's involved in all of this. He's behind the scene, guys, and he has been for a long time, and he's, if it wasn't for Brent, we'd be struggling. See what I mean? You're on,
sorry,
Tim.
About that. Well, no technology very well. So,
you look like a tech guy.
Yeah,
come
yeah. Right. Actually, people are looking to say, wait, that's not Jenny Squire up here. Isaac and Jenny Squire actually are the leaders of the Honduras mission trip. They've been doing it for like a dozen years now. I was privileged to go on the very first one back in 2010. I think my friend Jim was on that as well. It's just, I love Honduras. They had a wedding to go to tonight, so they'll be back tomorrow. So if I miss anything, come back tomorrow and you'll hear the rest of the story. But Honduras is located in Central America. It's in the central time zone, so we don't have to worry about the jet lag as much as when you go to Sweden or Romania or Italy. But and you could just take the week off for mission to the city and take 2 weeks, and then because we're right after that, I think we go August 2nd through the 9th, I believe. To Donnelly, we have a sister church down there. The saints down there are amazing people. They love the Lord so much. Honduras is the, I believe, I haven't checked this recently, but it's the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere. There's a lot of poverty down there. It's heartbreaking to see some of it, but it's also amazing to see how open they are to the gospel, how gracious they are, and how fervent the saints are down there. When they come to know the Lord, they just want everybody to know. We have gone, in the past, we have done projects like, in the past, we've done projects like taking shoes down there for children's. We do children ministry. We make food bags, and we go into poor neighborhoods and go visit and share the gospel. We take medical supplies to the local hospital. The hospital down there has so little items, really. We've met people that have to bring their own they're on painkillers if they're going to have surgery because they just don't have it to go around. So the need is great down there. The field is ripe. You don't have to speak Spanish. My Spanish is pretty bad. They have interpreters that will help us interpret. But it's just an amazing trip. It's one of my favorite things to do. I've stayed with the same family every time I've gone down there. We stay with families from the local church. They treat us like royalty. I mean, it's not the Holiday. It's not the Waldorf Astoria. It might be like the Holiday, and I don't know. We have comfortable beds. They feed us. They take good care of us. I just love it, and I just hope that you would prayerfully consider going on one of these trips or supporting us as we go. Trying to think what I forgot. One of the main things Jenny wanted me to tell you too is that the local saints down there, they really struggle there. It's a hard thing because of the poverty and everything. People sometimes don't feel like they're worthy to go to church. But we go down there to encourage the saints too. We go down there and encourage their church. They started out with just an open building, basically. Remember when we had? Now they have an enclosed building. So every year we help make improvements down there. We've painted walls. There's just so many things we can do down there. You will go on a little, kind of a long bus ride because it's a little bit farther down from the down in the country. From in the past, we've flew into Tegucigalpa. This year, we're going to fly into Comayagua, and I think it's like a 3-hour bus ride to the church, but it's well worth it. So, I think that's all.
That's good.
For
I think
now.
You had mentioned me that thinking of about a team about the size of 20.
Right.
But that's filling up fast, just so you know.
Yeah, so if you're thinking about it, don't wait. But it'll be a life-changing experience. And the other thing about going on missions is you just grow so close to the people you go with. You depend on each other. You depend on the Lord. And it's just an amazing experience. It's life-changing. It really is.
Yeah, I've been blessed to be with you on a few, brother. And I'm really thankful for that. So we're going to... Lord willing, we're going to make a trip back to Sweden. I lost my kidney there, and I think I'm trying to go back and find it. But seriously, you know, in 2017, Jeannie, Brent, and I took a small team to Sweden. We have a sister work, I'll call it, there. There's a sister for one of our churches, North Carolina churches, that sent her there about 2010, so she's been there quite a while. And in 2017, we just kind of started building a bridge, and there's not a lot of teams going support, so we just wanted to serve. That was our heart. Just had a towel over our arm, and we just wanted to go there and serve. And so that's what we did, and we started a relationship with them, and also with an established church that she's been working with. The church has been there for about 100 years, so it's an interesting dynamic. The church has a soup kitchen and a number of things that they do in downtown Stockholm, so there's lots of ministry opportunities there. And Sarah actually lives in a refugee area. Stockholm's a pretty large city that's like 2.2 million people and steadily growing. There's like, sometimes it's referred to as the refugee highway, and there's over 800,000 Muslims that have moved into the Sweden area, and nearly 120,000 immigrants, combination immigrants, refugees that have moved into Sweden yearly since 2014. So it's a really interesting culture. And what we'll be doing this particular time, God willing, again, is what I like to call is just kingdom networking. We're going to bring the gospel, of course, in a winsome gospel of God sort of way. But Sarah and her team, there's about six of them, they've been working there for years and years. And, you know, a lot of us, people, when they're out on longer term, is they need a hug. They need some smiling faces. They need some people to give them some relief. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to go, we're going to pray, and we're just going to interact with people. We're going to meet people in her neighborhood. It's fascinating. You pop up in a subway, and it's like you're in a whole different country because these refugees, it's kind of the end of the refugee highway, and they've established themselves a little bit. Some of them are businessmen, and they have communities, and there's these giant apartment complexes all around there, and they're built, they can't build them fast enough. So it's an interesting area, and the culture is just very different. So you have all these people coming from different places, then you have the Swedes trying to figure out how to interact with them. So it's really interesting. But ultimately we want to help make connections with Sarah's crew. We meet people, ask them if we can pray for them. We're walking around the city, and we give them Sarah's number and just hook them up with them. And as the other church as well in downtown Stockholm, it's just kind of kingdom networking, as I like to talk about it. We just walk through the city, meet people. If there's any way, we just really try to be in tune to any way we can serve them and help them. We try to be good listeners. If they need something, we try to pay attention and do that. So that's kind of what we'll be doing. Hopefully, the dates that we're kind of looking at are August 25th through September 4th. So it'll be a 10-day trip. And so we're inviting people into that. And I'll talk about numbers a little bit later, but that's the Sweden thing. And I know my kidneys are somewhere, so can't be wait to get back and talk to that doctor. So, all right, Alicia.
Yeah. Hello. Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm Alicia Dawes, and my husband and I, Scott, are excited to leave the Italy mission trip again this year in October. We don't know the exact dates yet, but it's usually around the middle of October. And so the Rock Church has been going to Italy since 2003, and we've been able to develop ongoing relationships with our partner ministries there. There is a church there called Il Rifugio, and that stands for the refuge in Italian. And we've been able to do English clubs there, and they're free to the students that are on the university there. The churches are actually in Milan and Turin, and it's like 2 feet away from the university. So students pass by there all day long. And so during the 2006 Turin Olympics, we had a group of musicians go from the Rock, and they were able to hold outreach events, and it was really cool just to be able to, you know, communicate really through music instead of words, because there's obviously language barriers. And same thing, we do have interpreters as well. You know, you don't need to know Italian to come. Actually, that's part of the goal, really, is with the English clubs, is we have activities, and it's actually more for students and that know English already, but they don't ever get to practice their English, so they get to practice their English with us. We have activities and games that help them do that, and then they also get to meet other people there that are Italians, and they get to bond with them and get to know somebody else that knows English there too. So last year was a bit of a challenge. We didn't go in 2020, but we did go last year, and with COVID it was still tough, and I think it was a big opportunity for our team to really learn to trust God. And like, I think just knowing that God had a plan was probably the biggest thing, because it was nerve-wracking a lot of the time. We almost missed our flight there, and yeah, it was annoying. But God really used it, and you know, we were able to win being close together with our team and just bonding that way, and also reaching out to the saints there. And this is a different kind of mission, because it's not labor-based, really. Like, it's more spiritual-based, and we try to win them over with love and knowing that we care about them. And it's different because they know it's a different kind of love. They know that we care about them. This is, Scott and I have been 3 years, and we have relationships now with some of the students there, and it's been amazing seeing them again. And like, the fact that they try to clear their schedules to just come see you, and they'll go, you know, they'll hike for 10 miles, it seems like, for just to find you. And that's kind of what it was like. We had a few students that kind of did that last year. They couldn't communicate with us, and so they were just walking around, just going to our usual places, and they eventually found us. But it was just cool, because they knew that they're loved. They know that it's different, and we're able to just hopefully introduce them to the pastor there, Frank, and his wife, Pam. And then also there's another couple there named Justin and Amanda, and they all live there. And Frank was born and raised in Italy, so he knows Italian really well. And Pam has also learned it as well. But we introduce them to them, and then hopefully they can take over the conversation and create the relationships that they need to for the future. And they actually have English clubs weekly where they still meet while we're not there. But it's been cool to see on Facebook or whatever to see them still have those relationships with some of the students that we met this last year, and it's been really cool. I think one of the things that we need to pray for is Pam, the pastor's wife. Pam, she has cancer, and it's been an ongoing battle, and she's one of the strongest ladies I think I've ever met. She's just full of love, and she doesn't act like she's in pain at all. She just trucks on, and it's amazing. One of the other things we need to pray for is the people that will be coming to the English clubs, that they would just have open hearts, kind of like Brent was saying here in Salt Lake City, because we're Mormon based. There it's Catholic based, and same thing. They want this. They want that love. They want the relationship, but they're scared to step out in faith and, you know, trust Jesus. So it's a really hard barrier to break when it comes to them trying to step away from their families and just coming to church and everything. But so that's something important. And then also pray for the team that will be going as well. And just pray for if there's a calling for you to go. I think it'd be awesome to create a new team and just see who wants to go. We usually have about 10 people, but that doesn't limit us at all. So, you know, whatever God's going to do, I think it's going to be awesome.
All right, thank you. Matt and Beth?
Yep. All right. How's it going? So I'm Matt Wish.
I'm Beth Wish.
And we are so excited. We have two daughters. One's over there, Elise. Another daughter, Leah, who's not here with us today. We're so excited to be sent by The Rock to serve with Mission Aviation Fellowship in the Democratic Republic of Congo as an information technology specialist family. So that's the long way to describe what we're doing. MAF was founded in 1945 by a group of World War II veteran pilots, and they wanted to use their aviation talents to share the love of Jesus with isolated people and see their lives change. So we use small airplanes to reach remote places and people that are isolated by geography and by conflict. So we work with hundreds of churches and organizations to bring food to the hungry, medicine to the sick, and to bring God's word to those that desperately desire to have it in their heart language.
So MAF operations began in Zaire, which is now called the Democratic Republic of Congo, or DRC for the sake of brevity, in 1961. DRC is the second largest country in Africa, and its capital, Kinshasa, is the city with the most French-speaking people in the world, even more than Paris. DRC has a difficult history filled with civil war and ethnic strife. The country gained independence from Belgium in 1960, but immediately fell into conflict and chaos due to a lack of central government and infrastructure. Unfortunately, the DRC continues to struggle to get a central government and make use of the rich mineral resources that the country is full of.
So a common question at this point is, why is an IT guy here talking to me about an aviation organization? It's a pretty simple answer. Communications are essential to aviation operations. So with the help of an IT specialist, there's one up on a pole. With the help of an IT specialist, we'll have more reliable internet and IT infrastructure at the MAF bases, and we'll be able to expand those services to villages, schools, and medical clinics in the areas where we serve. Along with that, I'll use my skills to mentor the nationals and the goal of equipping them to independently support that aspect of the ministry.
After years of prompting from the Lord, we finally responded to God's call and connected with Mission Aviation Fellowship in 2020. We sold our home, quit our jobs, and joined MAF's mission to bring help, hope, and healing to the world's most isolated people through technology and aviation. We feel called to live among the Congolese people in Kinshasa for as long as God sees fit to leave us there. We are the first long-term missionaries to be sent from the Rock Church, but our prayer is that we're not the last.
So speaking of prayer, there's a couple different ways you can be praying for us. The first is for God to open up relationships across cultural barriers and to provide opportunities for us to share the gospel when we get there with our Congolese friends, neighbors, and colleagues. The second during this period is for God to provide strength and unity in our marriage as we step into this next phase that God has called us into.
We also want to ask for prayer for our family, especially our daughters, Leah and Elise, as we walk through this transition. And the last thing is for God's provision for the logistics of moving to the Congo. We need full funding for our financial goals, and we need a lot of wisdom to learn two new languages so we can communicate in the Congo. Thank you.
Thank you, yes. So obviously, we need a lot of prayer coverage for all of this, all that God's doing. And the next thing that we want to talk about as well is the give. That's a part of it as well, to give. And I like this verse from 2 Corinthians 8:11. It says, "Now you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched now by your giving, given proportion to what you have." You know, the most of the missionaries here, Matt and Beth, are a little bit unique situation. They come under the umbrella of MAF, but we are the supporting church. We want to help them with that for sure. But the rest of us, we take our vacation time, and of course the wishes too have to raise their own money, but we have to all have to raise our own money to do these trips. That's how we do it at the Rock here. But each year we come to you, the church, and we ask you to help offset those costs. We would like to fill up every single team, but we need to offset those costs. And even the flights, if you look at them lately, it's just up and down, up and down. So and that can really bounce the cost of a mission trip up. All of the money that's given to our funds is it's tax exempt. We try not to come at the church with a fundraiser, a hot dog cook-off every other week. That's why we try to do this March thing, because we used to do a lot of different things, and that was good too, but we thought, you know, rather than burden the church constantly, we'll try to do this once a year. And so that's what we're doing. But there's a couple quotes here that I think are pretty good. One from Leonard Ravenhill. He says, "Today Christians spend more on dog food than missions." And that seems hilarious until you think about it. And it's probably true. And I think at the very least we can match the dog food thing. So we're asking for help. And really we want this to multiply. You know, there was one of our perspectives teachers the other day. There was someone who's a successful businessman who has really poured a lot of money into missions in his ministry specifically, and it has just blossomed. And we would love to be able to be a part of something like that. But giving is an important part of this. I like this quote as well from Amy Carmichael, a missionary to India. "You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving." It's part of it. Here's how you can give. I want to ask all of you to pull out your phone right now. And even if you don't take the photo, just do it to humor me so that the person next to you thinks that you're taking a picture. But I'd like you to do is take a photo of this screen. This is the ways we can give. Again, when we do fundraisers for the church, it goes for missions, it goes to our Missions Cares Fund. And that's one fund that we use to try to offset these missions and the different things we do for the CARES ministry. Ministry, like the mission to the city, when we had that big party in the park, funds would come from that to this. But we don't use it for anything else. That's what it specifically goes for. Now, again, I just want to remind you, the Wish family comes under a different umbrella, so their funds will go through Mission Aviation Fellowship. And you know what? I am so blessed that you guys are coming under that umbrella, because there's a protection in that. That organization has been doing this for years and years and years, and so they will check on them. They'll give them resources. They know what they're doing, and that's what we want. As these guys are going into some hard places where the gospel has not been. So we want them to support. But they're, just so you're aware, just so you know how that works, that's where the funds for them will go from. And go. Why don't you come with us? Why don't you join with us? I mean, honestly, in some ways, it's kind of like, you know, God, Jesus commanded us to get baptized. Well, he commanded us to go, too. And there's a step of baptism when we become a believer, and that's certainly critical and very important to our walk of faith. But I don't know, for me personally, being involved in mission since 2003, it has really put you know, a step to my faith, because I've had to step into it. I've had to be in places where I really was desperate for the Lord, and it's good for me. And it'd be something that you'll never forget doing. I like this verse from Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And then we get to be with Jesus, and then things get set right. But there's a job to do. There's a task at hand. And at this church, we take that seriously, and we want to be a part of that. Oh, my goodness. And then we'll be with Jesus. I look so forward to that. I like this quote from A.T. Pearson, a pastor and missionary. I think it's really, really good. If missions languish, it is because the whole life of godliness is feeble. The command to go everywhere and preach to everybody is not obeyed until the will is lost by self-surrender in the will of God. I like that. Living, praying, giving, and going will always be found together. And I would agree. I would agree. So we're just going to go around the horn again, just through here real quickly, just to... again, like a witch's story looks a little bit different. We'll start with them, but they have a goal, and they're at a certain place with their fundraising. Just to share, you know, what that looks like for you. And the other will share maybe what size of team that you're looking for. We're pretty locked in over there with you two and your youngest daughter. So
we'll work on that.
But we'll talk more about that. So just share quickly, if you would, for...
Sure. Sure, we have a couple different ways that the church can partner with us and be a part of what God's doing in DRC. It goes back to the pray again, but the biggest need for us will continually be prayer. So if you commit to praying for us regularly, you're not going to see our faces once we go. So we need to be remembered in prayer.
Our second need is for you to join our financial support team through committing to annual, quarterly, or monthly gifts. We're two-thirds of the way there. Yeah. 32 families from The Rock have joined our committed support team. We're so grateful. We have just over $3,000 a month to go.
And we've also raised over $16,000 in one-time donations from 13 different families of The Rock Church. And that money goes towards getting us to DRC and paying for our language school.
We're so humbled by the outpouring of support that we've received from The Rock Church as our sending church. We've always said that we would not have felt equipped to say yes to God's call to Africa if it wasn't for all of you coming alongside us.
So the last piece of that is, we've shared before a little bit about this, MAF families have an average of 100 supporters. We are at 64 total at this point, but over 30 of you have told us that you've been prompted to join our support team but haven't done it yet. So our big challenge today is, if God has put a prompting on your heart, to meet us in the lobby and respond to that today. We're going to have response cards. We're going to have an iPad that you can sign up at the spot. And we're just so close. We're excited to see God do this.
We have a supporter who's praying for full support by Friday, which it's a big prayer, but God's done bigger things. So we hope that you'll prayerfully consider joining our team and partnering with us for the rest of this journey as we bring the hope of the gospel to the people of the DRC. We're praying that our full support team will be assembled by the end of May or the end of next week, whatever, so that we can leave for language school in August.
So like I said, we're usually looking for about 10 people. Last year we had 7, and the year before, or 2 years before that, we had 8, and in 2018 we had 10. So, I mean, we'll pray for whatever God wants to give us. You know, it's amazing because we've had other support and other people come from different churches to also support and be a part of our team. So it's like we've had 10 the entire time. So, I mean, we'll probably be looking for about at least 10 people, maybe 12.
Yes, and I'm thinking probably even with the flights and stuff, our trips would be probably similar in cost, maybe maybe around 2,500 per person. Again, the flights are just so unpredictable. I know in Sweden we're going to try and stay with the Saints again, and that'll help cut our costs. But the size of the team for us as well, maybe something similar. I mean, if there was 30, we'd take 30, I guess. But no, within reason, we'll see what the Lord might do. So that's what we're looking for. If you want to come along, we'd love to have you. Good job.
So I forgot to ask Jenny what their estimated cost is to go this year, but in the past it's been $1,200 to $1,500. But she did stress the fact that we need a little bit of this, the resource to bring resources to them, the medical supplies, shoes for children. We purchase food down there, make food bags. So, the dollar goes a lot farther down there because of the cost of living. So I would just ask you all to prayerfully consider donating. And we certainly want you to go. As Max said, Jenny did say we're going to cap at 20 people. So get signed up if you want to go. It'll change your life. But we really could use some money. We're not going to lie to you. We need some money.
Yeah, one of the unexpected costs, well, it's expected now because we've learned, but with the Honduras trip, usually in the past we've asked for medical supplies to bring down there or shoes for the kids. And when you receive 100 pairs or 200 or 300 pairs of shoes and you're like, how are we getting these to Honduras? Each person has to bring like two or three suitcases, and that's extra cost to check luggage. So that's usually a big expense for the Honduras trip. So please be praying about that and how you can help them with that. And same thing with the medical supplies, when they bring the medical supplies, same situation. So with Mission to the City, I'm going to tell you that you could technically do Mission to the City without giving any money. But I am going to convict you that you do need to give sacrificially of your time. I'm going to ask you to take a vacation day and just sign up for every project on that day. Maybe sacrifice a day of vacation pay and take that vacation pay and give it to the church and use your time on that vacation day to go and serve, and then take that money and give it to the church for the supplies. So like I was saying earlier, there's a lot of different projects that we get involved in, making sandwiches for the road home for the kids there. We buy all that supplies to make the sandwiches. When we do the big party in the park, all the bounce castles and the pizza and the water bottles and balloons and flyers and all the stuff that we give out, the pizza at the skate park, that's all coming from the church. And I would just encourage you to consider how you can give to the church to help provide those things, so that, you know, Lord willing, if we have 50 projects this year, the expense and the cost for that's going to go up. Is there a money guy in the room that knows how much we spent last year on Mission to the City? it was about $6,000 last year. So, and that's for a week of projects, just going around and handing out food or handing out balloons or candy or doing construction projects at Pregnancy Resource Center or the Rescue Mission. It takes money to do those things. And, you know, we've been blessed as a church to have those extra funds to be able to do that. But if we want to do more, it's going to take more money and more costs. So first, give sacrificially of your time. And then secondly, be praying about how you can give and bless the church to be able to go and turn that money into the community and bless the community.
In Romania, we're looking at doing two separate projects. One at the ministry center has a cement area it's crumbling, and every time it rains, it floods. And so we need to break apart that cement area and repour it with the right slope and everything else. And then at the church that we built, the flooring has crumbled and fallen apart, and it had to deal a lot with the cement foundation. The engineering Romanian guy kept saying, it's perfect. And and I kept on him, this floor is going to fall apart. And so it fell apart. And so we need to pull it up, pour some liquid leveling cement, and put some new flooring back down. And with the local people helping, you know, so they will be involved with the labor. and because we like to raise up people in there, and we're estimating that cost to be about $5,000 between the two projects, and flights and everything for our team is up there, so $2,200 to $2,500, we're looking for 10 to 12 people who want to go. So if you want to help, you can either help by help funding the projects or help sponsoring some of the missionaries. And thank you for listening to all of us talk about money.
All right, I want to end with a little illustration here. If you have one of the signs that we handed out, please come up here quickly, up on the stage. I think you guys will enjoy this. It's just a little illustration of what it takes to support. Come on up here. Come on up here and get on up behind here. We ask these people all to come up here. They say it takes a village. Honestly, it takes a church. And I think this is just a real good visual. At our perspectives class again, they gave us a demonstration like this, and it was very impactful. So you're going to have to scrunch in, guys. Come on, scrunch in. And which one has missionary, my missionary person? Where are you at? All right, Gary, good pick. You need to get on the end over here. And I want my Kool-Aid person on the very other end. And then again, I know we love each other, so let's scrunch up together so you can get in the camera here. Scrunch up as much as you can. Come on, this way. We can do this. It's kind of like the wave, you know? Okay, real quick, I'm just going to go through this because I think it's really kind of impactful. So all these people play different support roles in for these people. And certainly it's a little bit different for the wishes because they're going long term. So a lot of this will apply to them too as well. But it applies to all of these, and I'm just going to kind of go through them. So we have our co-missionary, Gary, here, who would maybe go with some of these guys. Every time I've led a team, I tried to give everybody a role to be on the team. So this co-missionary has other ideas. Maybe he goes with Scott and Alicia, or they just go have coffee, and they share ideas of what they've done before on their mission trip to try to plan for their short-term mission trip. And I'm just going to go through their church liaison. Oh, this guy. The church liaison, it's a high priority when there's a need in the field. Let's say specifically, like for the wishes, they're under the umbrella of MAF, but the Rock Church, we are the sending church. So we're just very connected with MAF and the wishes and trying to make sure that everything's happening right. MF, if something happens and we want to hear about it or they want to hear about it, we have a church liaison. In some ways, I will play that role to try to stay plugged in. And they're our people. It's our family. So we want to keep our eyes on them. I'm just going to go, the giver. one of my favorites. So the giver, Betty and Bob Giver, they've got a successful business. They've got like a business where they're making money just hand over foot. And the thing is, they're passionate about their business. They love working their business, and it's important to their life. But they also love missions and want to do something for the church. So they're in a position where they can give a little more. They might be able to take 10 short-term missionaries and pay for them. Wouldn't that be a blessing if they could do that? And some people, you have the means to do that. So we have a number of people that are the givers that can do that. And those that won't forget, like William here, he just won't forget things. And that's just an important thing. We all need this. You know, my wife is amazing at this, my wife Jeannie, until I have to remind her what she forgot. But you need people that that remember things seriously. Like, say, our person that doesn't forget, he's talking to one of our missionaries. Maybe Beth. Beth mentions, I've got this allergy, and I've heard that when I'm there in the Congo that I might be battling that. And the person won't forget, remembers that, and checks and sees, and maybe does a little research, goes above and beyond to say, Beth, you might try this, or you might try this thing. So don't forget, it's important. And our encourager, of course you want the encourager. We all need a Barnabas. We all need somebody with pom-poms. It's go squeaky wheel, go missionary, go. We all need that. We need someone that just encourages us constantly. So the encourager is very important. Family care. The wishes are leaving one daughter behind. Of course, she's old enough to take care of herself, but she's still back here, and they'll be over there. And oftentimes when our short team mission teams go, if the Bell Docs go, there's seven kids we gotta get them figure out about. So the family care, there's lots of people that for each one of the people that go out, each member on the team, we all have families. So when we're gone, or even if those families go, we're just paying attention. Maybe we can do a little more. Maybe we can take them to the zoo, or maybe we can do something for that family. And the baker, you might think that's not very important, but here's a secret. In this church, we have some people that are pretty good at cooking. I mean, we have somebody, I won't say their names, but it's really good at making pizza and making cookies, you know, and this other person is a gourmet cook, Mark, Tony, and Mary. It slipped out, but let's say we're going to have a missionary information meeting. So, and you're, most people say, you know, I don't think I want to go with that. Did you know that Tony's going to be there making pizza? Oh, I probably could make time for that. It's just, so the baker, you play an important role. Prayer. And I'm not talking about just a person at prayers. I'm talking about a person that gets up in the middle of the night. There's a seven-hour difference for you guys where you're going to be. Gets up in the middle of the night and petitions to the Lord. You take care of my family. You take care of my brother and sister. And when our other trips are out and about, when they're on the front line, oh, we need prayer. There's things that, yeah, we need prayer. We want people to get hurt. We need to pray. We need to be prayer. Prayer is so important. Fundraiser. You know, not everybody is as passionate about these things as some of us are. Someone might not be as passionate about going to Sweden as I am. But so fundraising is not necessarily the most fun part of it, but it is part of it. And one of the most refreshing things when you're fundraising is, Mac, you're fully funded. Oh. All right, you know. I'm not here to pad my pockets. I'm not here to buy a new car, but the fundraising is part of it. And so it's an important part of it, but it really helps our missionaries when you can just kind of not have to worry about that anymore. In one sense, it's like, okay, Lord, you provided. Thank you. We'll keep on going. Fundraising is very important. And a mentor, somebody wise like Matt there, or with gray hair like me, a mentor, or someone maybe that's been on trips before that's done a thing or two, or that our missionaries, short-term, long-term, they can go to them and you say, you know, I ran into this situation and I don't know what to do. And you might say, I don't know what to do either, but let's pray. We all need mentors all along the way, and we're all growing in the faith. Nobody arrives. I need mentors in my life all the time. I need people to tell me, you know what? You might shouldn't do that, or you know, you gotta put this into line, or you put this verse into play. So we all need mentors. A visitor, we all need visitors, don't we? Of course, especially like when the wishes get out to where they're going. They told me they won't have UPS and Amazon there, so the only way for them to be able to get things, you know, might be by you taking, put it in your suitcase, and go visit them. Go show up, give them a hug. They're going to need a hug. Be a visitor. Go and see them. Visitor is very important. And the news monitor. You know, the news monitor is an important role, too. You find a trustworthy source, and good luck with that. We find a trustworthy source for the place that they're at, and you can kind of watch that. Watch what's going on in that country, and you kind of inform the rest of us. You know what? A, B, and Z is going on, and we can all go to prayer or whatever it might be. News monitor. And the helper does a little bit of everything, you know. You might know how to do technology stuff or how to get things done, so the helper steps in and helps. We all need help. Oh, my goodness, we all have weaknesses in one way or another, except for Brent. He's the only one that can do it all. Squeaky wheel. You know, the squeaky wheel's that person kind of like, I like to kind of do like this. When new people come into the church or people are just coming into church, a squeaky wheel would say, you know, I know you're kind of new. Did you know that we have missionaries in the Congo? Would you be interested in getting their newsletter? The squeaky wheel just say, you know what? We have a team right now in Honduras, and we're collecting shoes to try to get them to them. The squeaky wheel is like, yeah, you can be a part of that. You can support by that role to step into that. And the calendar. Oh, my goodness, you got to have a calendar, especially when like the wishes on a little longer term. There'll be people that they can put in charge and taking looking at their calendar. Okay, your visa is going to be running up pretty soon. You got to pay attention to this. You got to pay attention to that. So a calendar role is very important. And then there's the listener. Again, the listener just just hears things that maybe the rest of us wouldn't. That one of the team members shares, that Jim says, you know, my wife's not going to be able to go on this trip, that she's going to be at home. I hope she doesn't get too lonely, but do you check on her? Whatever. I heard that. We hear it when people tell us what's going on. Good listeners. And hospitality. Open up your homes to missionaries. It'll bless your life. Find times where if they need a place to meet, to draw people to your small group or whatever, open your house. Hospitality is amazing. And Kool-Aid. You might go, well, what's that all about? Well, there's gift givers. There's gift giving that's important, too. Maybe Matt likes Frosted Flakes. I don't know. But maybe there's a certain thing that he really likes to give. The Kool-Aid story comes from our perspectives class. Again, the teacher told a story of one of her missionaries loved Kool-Aid. That was just kind of one of those things. You grow up, there's certain things you like. I mean, everybody likes the big Kool-Aid. But so she likes Kool-Aid. So they went out of their way and put together a gift of Kool-Aid, and they sent it to this place. And these missionaries were kind of within an unreached people group. So it was a village out in the middle of nowhere. And the Kool-Aid shows up. They've been having a hard time connecting with the villagers and hooking up with them. But then, lo and behold, all the villagers hear, an airplane comes in and brings the American juice. So the whole village comes. The whole village shows up, and they're able to talk with them and share the American juice and talk about Jesus. So it takes a lot of people to support missions. Every single one of these trips, all of us need support. And you can all play a role in that. Here's what I like to do. I'd like you guys to stand up and look back at these guys. And just look back at them. We need at least that much support for all these people. But then everybody stand up and clap and holler and hoop and holler. You guys have turned back around. I just want you to know that heaven's armies surround you. Heaven's armies surround you. And this church supports you in the front and in the back. And we'll continue to do that as long as the Lord will allow us to do that. So we're just going to end with that. Thank you for coming. I'm going to say a prayer and we'll just keep going. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for what you're doing in our church, Lord. I pray you'd use our lives to bring you glory. I pray we could get involved in more and more things, Lord. I pray you'd provide for all the things that you've called us to. Lord, I pray you protect us, Lord. I pray you'd draw us together tight as a church as we go on mission, as we stay home. Lord, take care of us. I know you will. I thank you for all you're doing, and I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming.